Palm Sunday marks the memorable biblical story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. It was a triumphant entry, just 1 week before he was arrested, mocked, flogged, and crucified for the sins of the world. It's a story that reminds us how fickle the human race is. How quick we are to ride a trend, follow the crowd, and succumb to the spirit of political correctness. People who lick the tip of their finger, stick it in the air, and see which way the wind blows are not trendsetters or change agents. They are puppets on a string of circumstance. Like thermometers, they tell you what temperature it is in the room. How much better to be a thermostat who sets the temperature? This is what Jesus was. It is what set him apart. It is eventually what got him killed. But his resurrection changed the world forever, unleashing millions of thermostats who are still challenging the darkness. Ever had the Jesus card played on you? It goes something like this. Jesus would never say anything negative about anyone, and in fact he would never get involved in politics. He was a go-along-to-get-along sort of fellow who, for the sake of pleasing everybody so he could reach everybody, put a positive touch on everything. Jesus had a constant smiley face. In other words, Jesus was politically correct, and as followers of Christ we should be just like him. Was Jesus politically correct? How did the Master address injustice in his generation? What about politics? Was there a deep state in Jesus' day, undermining the freedoms and blessings God intended for his people? Did Jesus, in fact, restrain himself from speaking out against injustice and hypocrisy? Jesus lived and ministered in a deep state culture. A study of the 400 silent years that transpired in Israel just prior to the arrival of Jesus yields some interesting facts. This is the intertestamental period between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. By the time of the prophet Malachi, a remnant of the Jews had returned to Israel, living under the rule of the great Medo-Persian Empire. Israel had ceased to be an independent nation, and their land was the annexed territory of a succession of larger empires. A puppet state with no king of their own, Israel was allowed to practice their religion. But the exile had left its mark on the Jews and their religion, and they drifted from their roots. Despite repeated warnings from the prophets, they went through a formal pretense of serving God, while inwardly blaspheming his name and living in disobedience. During this time of captivity and confusion, a whole new religion called Judaism emerged that was more political than spiritual, more corrupt than virtuous, more rooted in the relativism of oral tradition than the proven principles of Old Testament scripture. The Pharisees, for example, accepted the oral law along with the Torah, and it was believed to be equally inspired and authoritative, and all of the explanatory and supplementary material produced by, and contained within, was the oral tradition. What was the oral law? Religious bureaucracy at work. Regulations added by men that watered down or undermined the clear teachings of Scripture. A religious deep state. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he often found himself bumping up against these government regulations as he conducted his ministry. When that happened, he didn't hold back from speaking out against it. For example, Mark 3:1-5, Luke 13:10-17, Matthew 12:1-8. There are many more examples not listed here. It was, after all, the Sanhedrin who sentenced Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah, Word made flesh, to death. The Sanhedrin was a committee of Jews with recognized executive, legislative, and judicial power over Jewish faith and lifestyle during the Seleucid Empire, circa 196-167 BC, the Maccabean Revolt, circa 168-143 BC, and within the limits imposed by Julius Caesar, Herod the Great, and Roman procurators during the Roman Empire, circa 44 BC to AD 66. Subordinate to the Sanhedrin were the religious parties or sects known as the Sadducees and Pharisees, both who were complicit deep state participants, not at all happy that their stranglehold on authority was being challenged by the Messiah prophet Jesus who was connecting with their constituency. The bottom line is that a deep state had arisen within Israel that was functioning on man-made regulations and customs and traditions not rooted in the written law of Moses. The result was political and religious corruption. In no uncertain terms, Jesus denounced the deep state. A well-known section of Scripture underscores Jesus' distaste for the deep state by showcasing the seven woes in Matthew 23. Below I have listed a few of these passages, direct quotes from Jesus in red, followed with running comments which I will refer to as my paraphrase. Here is what Jesus said in his first denunciation of the deep state of his day: Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are making the effort. Matthew 23:13. Now here is my paraphrase, adapted for 2023, deep state elites, progressives, globalists. You are designing a utopia where you rule and the masses give homage to your centralized control. Again, here is what Jesus said: Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Matthew 23:15. Again, here is my paraphrase, deep state elites, progressives, globalists. You will spare no expense to stay in power or advance your propaganda and keep people under your control. Yet again, Jesus pulled no punches when he said, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Matthew 13:25. Seeing this statement through the lens of 2023, here Jesus targets deep state elites, progressives, globalists, and their political correctness, exposing it for what it is, pure hypocrisy. It is focusing on the style while ignoring the substance. Whitewashing the surface while advancing corruption in secret. For example, they shout Black Lives Matter and cry, Don't separate children from their mothers. But advocate the destruction of black businesses in our inner cities, protect the right of Planned Parenthood to abort babies wholesale, label parents terrorists for showing up at school board meetings, and insist on having the license to groom our young children without parental consent. Once more, here is what Jesus said, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Matthew 13:27-28. My simple paraphrase of that statement, I am offended by your political correct posture. Get real and do what is right. Yet again, Jesus said, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead, then, and complete what your ancestors started. Matthew 13:29-32. The present day application, whether it is praising the memory of Reagan and Lincoln or showering syrupy accolades on McCain at his funeral, progressives and Democrats will stone a conservative while they are alive but praise them when they are dead. Finally, Jesus pulls out all the stops, you snakes! You brood of vipers! How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I tell you, all this will come on this generation. Matthew 13:33-36. Memo to the politically correct reader, prophets were not refined peddlers of soft truth, skilled in the art of tact and discretion. They were, to the point, and often rough on the edges in the way they spoke out against injustice. This is why they were all stoned. In defense of our prophet president, Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States and leader of the MAGA movement, is a thermometer par excellence. Through his unyielding leadership, He has launched a movement to turn over the tables of the corrupt deep state and restore our constitutional government by calling out the best in the American people. His willingness to speak truth to power has been his greatest weapon, wielded against those who need to be exposed for what they are. Please don't use the "he says mean things" argument against President Trump. Righteous does not always equate with comfortable. Remember that. The job of the prophet is to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted.